You're listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines, July 3rd, Old Glory, New Shame, Part 2.
So although all of these vigilantes and cops and sheriffs have previously been here at our door to harass us, recently we've been served with this protection order harassment thing. And this all occurred, by the way, in conjunction with Trump's visit to Fargo.
Exactly.
He emboldens local racists wherever he goes. We were, this woman that we outed was celebrating an impending visit by Donald J. Trump, which took place on June 27th. And she was shaming local anti-Trump protesters who were online while she was celebrating the separation of migrants from their children and the executive order of indefinitely caging families in concentration camps. She followed a this all happened following a lengthy fight with many local anti-Trump activists online. And me, the station's manager, posting screenshots of this local fight online on Facebook, plus Karen's offensive comments. And all of this led to her being renamed, dubbed Karen. This was the original post. Can you know, we've shown all of this before, but yeah. I wanted to make people aware of it. And we showed her public profile, which is available to everyone. In these documents, Karen claims that I showed people her address, that I told people to stalk her and follow her. I said, when you find these racists are doing things, you should document where they're going to be. You should document their offending comments. As in, if a Nazi says they're going to be going downtown and holding a white power rally, or they're going, or AKA Trump support rally.
Yeah.
Know where those people are going to be, because people that are vulnerable need to know about things like that so they can avoid Nazis. That's perfectly within the right of every human being to do. If you're publicly posting about your support for the upcoming visit of this fascist president who drums up, you know, local animus and local hatred, then, you know, go celebrate that somewhere that you can't have anyone look at it. Because if you do it on Facebook, if you do it in social media, people are going to share that. You don't have any expectation of privacy on Facebook. We're sorry. So what really upset Karen wasn't what I said. It was that I made it public to the media. I'm shaming her publicly, like Maxine Waters has been doing, like many other publications and media outlets have been doing. But Karen thinks that her privilege and her power afford her more rights than any other white lady in her tiers. And so she is going to sue me, and she's going to somehow convince this judge to throw free speech, throw the right of the media and the Fourth Amendment, or the Fifth Estate out the window, and allow her to censor us. I don't think that's going to happen, but I will be bringing you a full coverage report on what occurred at that July 6th hearing, okay? For the time being, I want you to see that I've been, you know, calling out the racist history of all of immigration policy, and anybody that's supporting it, and anyone that's supporting a rapist, misogynist, disability shaming, rapist, and friend of a sex trafficking pedo like Jeff Epstein. I mean, I could go on. The man is a dumpster fire. Trump is truly a criminal, a fraud, and a dumpster fire. And the fact that you're celebrating his Hitler-esque-like activities of caging children makes you Hitler-esque adjacent. You are openly supporting someone that you know to be enacting policies of ethnic cleansing. That makes you a Nazi. We can call you what you are. If you don't like it, then stop acting like a Nazi. Here's an article that I wrote about the history of the function of Border Patrol as a function of white supremacy and why no Mexicans should be part of it. I'm going to reiterate, y'all should not be part of it. If you speak Spanish, if you're Latino, if you're Mexican, if you're Central American, do not help the monsters in the genocide. Don't get paid to lock up families. Don't get paid. Don't make a profit off of this. You are taking blood money and you will go to hell. God is real. God is power. God is all powerful and God is real and he is coming for you. You got to believe that. I believe that. I know that. Okay. You need to shame racists and fight against fascism. That is something I have also said. You can see here, this was all prior to Karen losing her mind over what I said. I said it this on June 17th. You can see all of these posts because they're public on our radio station, Facebook page. So you can go verify this stuff on your own. But let me just show you how I was talking about, you know, racists then. And this is with regard to Tim Weiss in a post that he was saying that he's tired of the trend where white racists' names are kept from the public after they say shiz, like, you know, racist stuff. You like Aaron Schlossberg, you know, Barbecue Becky. Do you want to read this about
Tim Weiss says, racists? I'm tired of this trend whereby white racist names are kept from the public after shiz like this. Sorry, but if you do this in public, we have the right to know who you are, to expose you online by name, and wreck your life. If you call the cops on black folks over some bull stuff like Barbecue Becky in Oakland or Aaron Schlossberg in New York City, it should be up to internet sleuths to figure out who that was. It should be public. You put your shiz on the street, right? Your right to privacy is gone. Precious. This guy should be exposed forever, unemployable, abandoned by friends and family, wrecked until unless he makes full amends to black folks on black folks' terms, whatever those are. That is the bare minimum required for restorative justice. If he won't do that, seriously, screw him.
Do you want to explain to people who Tim Weiss is so that people know if they don't know?
Yeah, Tim Weiss is an author, and he's written books. He's an anti-racist. Tim Weiss is one of the leading white anti-racists that travels the country and goes to different workshops and speaks to really inspire other white people to kind of get with it, how to become a white ally. And his books are escaping my brain right now, but I've read several of his books. I always thought that he is someone I can learn from. That he actually has been putting the talk and walking the walk. And again, he helps analyze from an anti-racist perspective what's going on, and he talks to white people. And he has his different tools in his toolbox. And like I said, he's an educator and a writer and a supporter, and he's very vocal in social media. He not only does his writing and, you know, does his speaking engagements, but he's really active on social media to get the message out. So he tends to respond, react, and proact to a lot of things going on in this country. And so he gives a good perspective, I think, for other white people to look to learn how to be better anti-racists and better allies to people of color.
He also is not getting threatened by the cops, harassed by the cops, and dragged into court.
No.
To address the exact same thing that Karen claims in here. She claims that I'm calling for violence against people that are white, and that the fact that I talk about how white people are losing their jobs in my article that I wrote in 2015.
Yeah. 3 years ago.
She's using as evidence that I want bad things to happen to her, that I want people to harass her, stalk her. These are already things that have been going on. I just pointed out that white people are not immune from this, as did Tim Weiss in that post that I posted days before I even saw or heard this racist stuff and the fight that Karen had online with other people. With other people. I talked about it. I never even addressed this woman.
Yeah.
I've never seen her. I don't know her from Adam or Eve or Steve.
Yep.
So let me just say, okay, next, what was the next thing that we have here? Oh, yes. Sorry, I got so excited I lost my spot. I like completely lost the spot where I was at. Okay, so then we did our shows talking directly about Karen. Well, actually, first we did the Cold as Ice one where I specifically told the people who are lying and or detracting from or trying to minimize what's really happening to people, my people, the way that Karen did in her post, the way that a lot of these Trump supporters are trying to do when they celebrate these atrocities is disgusting. And it makes all of the people doing it cold as ice, which is why I named the show Cold as Ice. We have a link to that show so you guys can go watch it if you didn't watch it. But I condemned those who flippantly rejoiced this executive order. And I called them what they are, racists, ethnic cleansing supporting Nazis. As far as I'm concerned, that's what y'all are. Mm-hmm. If you don't want me to be thinking of you that way, stop supporting ethnic cleansing.
Exactly.
Stop cheering it on. Stop being so effing excited about it. Okay? Stop telling me I can't refer to this as a Holocaust when they're literally taking little kids from their mothers and saying, we're going to take them to the showers now.
Yeah.
Okay, so shut your face about this. I'm not going to hear any more of this derailment nonsense from people who are trying to minimize this horrible Holocaust against these children. Then, of course, there is the Holocaust 2018 show in which we featured the Shame Shun Shutdown campaign. We identified Karen in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did the Shame Shun Shutdown show. And we also, again, talked about Karen in addition to Snowflake Steve, Dwayne and Don, Brent Fletcher, Leslie Dutton, a.k.a. Kidnapper Karen, we named her, and a Nazi named Kynan Dutton. I don't know if you guys were paying attention to that show, but we went through a lot of other people we are shaming that are local and or formerly local to us Nazis and or racists, and shaming them for what they're saying and or doing to people in our communities, holding them accountable locally, shaming them publicly, as per what everyone else is doing right now. I'm not even the only one doing this. So then we had a separation of families event while we were being harassed by the cops. And the cops came to the event. There was an attorney here. And she's an immigration attorney. There was an immigration attorney sitting right through the window. The sheriff could see her. The county, the sheriff probably knows her. Cause she's like, there's a sheriff's deputy at your door. And he got off that step so fast. There's a video of it. You can see for yourselves. It was like, boom. And he was gone. He showed up. How long did that whole thing take? Well, from the time he...
It took longer to get out of his car and walk up the driveway than it did for him to knock on our door. Here he is. He pretty much walked up.
He just
there he's looking in the window. It's great. He doesn't even knock. Reads a note on the door. Says, call our attorney. Flips his arm down.
But you see him...
Leaves. That was...
He knows the camera's there because he's waving the papers in front of the camera. He's also waving the papers in front of the window. He looks directly into the window and he sees the lawyer. He also saw some other community members, some of them prominent people that the cops would definitely know by looking at them. And I think he didn't really want to serve those papers then.
Yeah.
I don't think that he wanted for... I actually was saying right before the people showed up, right before the cops came, I said, I wondered if they tried to show up to try to humiliate me during this separation meeting. But then, you know, I started thinking really intelligently because of the people that I invited to be there. Like, would they really dare do that?
Yeah.
With an attorney sitting here and some other prominent community members, would they go that far? And the answer is nope.
Yeah.
Not yet anyway. He was like, nope, he's out. So eventually they did come back. And after a lot of, rigmarole for no particular reason, none of this should have even been happening. These documents were given to us, this bogus claim of her fearing imminent death, or I don't know what she thinks is going to happen to her. She's going to... Do you believe in, you know, spontaneous human combustion?
I haven't seen it yet. I don't doubt it exists. I'm not going to doubt it, but I've never seen it.
We were having this conversation the other day with a judge.
Yeah.
And you know what he said?
What?
He said he believes in spontaneous human combustion. Remember when we were sitting with those two judges and that paralegal mm-hmm. at dinner the other night?
Yeah.
And that's what he said, didn't he? He said, I believe in it. And I was like really amazed because I was like, I believe in it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's true. Maybe there is bee curses. Maybe Missy Waddell does have the ability to wish a bee swarm upon Karen, or maybe she will spontaneously combust. I don't know. I didn't think I had that kind of a power, but she is acting as if we're a threat to her when what she has done is be harassing and threatening to us. Because we called out her racism mm-hmm. against other people
yeah.
in this community. You don't get to be a bully and then demand that the media, even the media, stay silent or otherwise they're fake news. I mean, this needs to stop. We can't be censored to this degree. This is, it's become comical. I mean, if it wasn't really happening and it wasn't really chilling to the freedom of speech and the rights mm-hmm. of the press, it would be hilarious. But there is a real consequence to doing what this woman is doing.
Yeah.
So while we feel this harassment is unwarranted and it is a restriction of our expression, racist people calling 911 is nothing new, as you've seen in the media. I'm sure you've all heard of Barbecue Becky and all these other people. But mm-hmm. having the law enforcement bless these kinds of activities was really disturbing. This is another thing that I found in this document. I want to show it to you so you can take a look for yourself that this is what happened in our community. Could you please put up that graphic for me?
That's right. Incident report.
Where are you at? Right there, yes. Mm-hmm. Right there.
Compilation.
Yep. Because here's what happened, folks. The members of the media, Congress, in comedy, as well as activists, have all been calling for public shaming of hateful, fascist, or genocidal policies in Fargo-Moorhead. And Fargo-Moorhead locals and law enforcement authorities have reacted to our broadcasts with nervous threats over the phone, via email, harassment at our home, from the police, from the sheriff's department, from the firefighters. And all of this has been in part due to other entitled white people who feel that their use of 911 can be used to send state-sanctioned violence to the home of people of color run media to threaten us into silence. That tactic hasn't worked before. And we're not about to allow it to work now. It's not going to work, folks. So I want you to know, I want to reiterate, because I did talk about this before, and I'm going to make the point again. I think it's an important piece that I request from the mayor of Moorhead about the cops coming to my mm-hmm. house
yep.
yielded a conversation with the police chief in which he said to her, that he confirmed to her that the matter pertained to Karen Stensgaard, and that they had informed Karen, they meaning police, his officers, had told Karen, quote unquote, no criminal complaint. No report needed to be filed. There was nothing the cops could involve themselves in because Karen Stensgaard's call was about curtailing my free speech. And I have free speech and, you know, I'm paraphrasing, okay? Mm-hmm, but the words free speech, that was part of the conversation they had.
Yep.
And that no report would issue because I wasn't doing anything illegal. So there was nothing for the police to do. And that the only reason that they'd come here was to let me know about that. Which, of course, I have a hard time believing. I have a very hard time believing they were just here to tell me about the fact that I wasn't doing anything wrong. And when I was able to look at the incident report, the CAD narrative, excuse me, that came along with these documents, I learned that Karen decided, after she made contact with the police, Officer Van Dyke, as you can see, would you read that part, honey?
Officer made contact with Comp via cell phone, who stated she had a political discussion on Facebook with Cindy.
No, she didn't. I never talked to her.
And eventually blocked her due to her rude comments. Cindy then posted things on her Facebook page for KPPP LP 88.1, calling Karen a Nazi and encouraging others to expose, shame, and shun her. Cindy also posted a picture of Karen's profile picture. Officer attempted contact with Cindy, but was unsuccessful, awaiting callback.
Okay, now here's the part that conflicts with what the mayor said that the chief told her the officers did. It says, officer advised Karen to seek an HRO. That stands for Harassment Restraining Order. And that this CFS would be documented in case further harassing actions occur. NR at this time. No response at this time. That's like no response from me. Okay? Mm-hmm. So the officer told her to go and waste the court's resources for something he knows isn't a crime. And I know, you know how I know that what the chief said about what, that this couldn't be made into a report because nothing illegal had happened? Because it's on the incident report. It's not a police report. It's an incident report. And what do you see there with the arrow pointing to it about whether or not a report is required on this call of harassment? And there's Officer Van Dyke and also Officer Zimmel. Both of those were the officers involved in this case. It says that no report is needed. No report right there. So, once again, 6/22, you see there's the date. That's when she contacted the Moorhead Police Department and they said, no, there's no report needed here. But as you can see, even though there's no report needed, the cops still came over to knock on my door for 15 minutes really loudly one day. And then again, a second day during our broadcasting. And then they advised her to kick it into the court system so that the sheriffs would have to come and harass us for a few days in a row. And then drag us into court for no particular reason. I think the police, the sheriff's department, the court system could all be on a dangerous slope of encouraging this kind of nonsense and giving racists like Karen the idea that they could just keep going. But see, that leads to journalists ending up dead. And if you don't see the Nazi, if you cannot see how all of this is affecting our community in a very powerfully negative way, then you're sleeping under a rock, exactly. Or you're already dead inside.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Don't you agree with me, dude?
Most definitely. I think that, you know, and it's not, this is not unique of what you're doing. I mean, there's people doing this across the country because it's becoming effective, you know, and there's all these people in our community that are exposing their own racism. They need to be held accountable. They need to be held morally responsible for their behavior. So we watched a comedian the other night, and he said that you have free speech, but you're not free from the consequences of your free speech. And we're not talking about you. We're talking about people like Karen Stensgaard and that snowflake, whatever the other one was, is calling us a hate station when he's promoting hate and everything he does on his Facebook page. He needs to be called out. And the people that run to the aid of these Nazis are basically showing their hand. You know, and they got to wake up. So I think.
I agree. Sorry, I was munching on some of that pesto.
We had some really good pesto that was put together by my wife, Cindy, and from a modified recipe that I had. And our breath really smells like garlic, which is a good thing. But if you're around us right now, you're going to have to eat some. So your breath, you won't smell our bad breath. We'll just be one together with the breath.
Well, I hear garlic keeps away bloodsuckers.
Yeah, that's right.
And other undead. So, trying to, you know.
Very good. Very good.
I think it might be repellent. So, folks, we know that this comes from a desire to curtail the media and our free speech rights as a media producer, as a Mexican producing, a Mexican Crossing Lines producing a radio show, managing a station. Because she specifically mentions the station. You saw that. It said.
Yeah.
It didn't even say my name in the police report. It said 88.1 and KPPPLP.
That's right.
But she's trying to get a restraining order against me. Because if she blatantly tried to get a restraining order against the radio station, she would look and immediately be laughed out of court. But what she's doing is just as wrong.
Yeah. And also in that CAD report, if you look closely, she had people calling from Fargo, calling the city of Fargo Police Department.
It could have been her, too, though.
It could have been her, yeah. Yeah, saying it's being done and saying she's being doxxed. And also that radio station has posted a picture of the comp and posted her name and address. There was never an address posted. We don't know her address. Her Facebook page said she lived in Moorhead. Again, publicly available information, and people are like, Hulk, you use my picture. You need to take it down right now because that's my face. And it's like, hey, dude, you put that face on there for thousands and thousands of people to see. Don't you remember that Zuckerberg's been selling your information? You should be outraged at that. You should be calling up Zuckerberg for using your information and stealing a lot of things so they know your behaviors. That's where the crime is if you're going to fall into thinking that you have some privacy. Every time you leave your house and go down the street and drive on almost every road in this town, the police are filming you. You're under surveillance all the time. Your privacy rights are gone. And I don't like that, but the whole thing is that we don't understand this difference between public and private. I think it's been a really white thing for white people to think they have privacy when people of color don't. Yeah. You know, I think it's a white thing that we thought that we could have privacy and do whatever we want and not get caught at it. And those times are done.
I have to say, I really like your shirt.
Well, thank you.
You look really sexy in that shirt.
Yeah, you picked it out and got rid of the one that was had holes
so,
in it.
You look so sexy in that shirt.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
I don't know if people can tell, but it has like this like...
I'm gonna adjust the color. I adjust the color of hue and contrast. So.
Can you? Yeah, so that people can see the blue in there. Oh, I think you made it harder to see the blue now.
Well, that's what you're gonna get right now. Sorry,
that's what you're gonna get right now. You made it worse.
No, it's not so pink.
Oh, so. I wanted to see more of the blue in your shirt, but it looks really cute.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, folks, I didn't mean to distract you, but I was looking at you on the camera when you were talking, and I realized how handsome you looked.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. What I wanted to tell you about Karen is that, you know, and what you said is very true about, you know, things that white people don't think about, but I really want people to honor that Niemöller quote and think about what they're ignoring right now. Because not only are the rights of free speech and freedom of press in danger, but the safety of people of color, queer people, transgender people, the rights of women to choose, people who run and work who run and work at or intern at this radio station at, on this media platform run by people of color and others like it. We are under danger from personal attacks and threats. And this initial request for a restraining order was denied on the basis that no immediate threat existed to Karen. But this judge has scheduled a hearing. And we have had to raise money for assistance to defend ourselves legally from this. And there are other people that have already said to us they have also filed complaints with the police and Facebook. So there will be other attacks. At least one other white male that we exposed for his racism has called the police on our station. So we only anticipate further harassment, both from law enforcement, from vigilantes like Karen, and from others in the public that are adjacent to them and feel the need to protect them. We would like respite. We would like sanctuary from the harassment that we are constantly facing as we continue to struggle to report local news and to do our work. Can you tell people how they can donate to us so that they can help us right now as we're trying to raise money for our legal fund?
Yeah, we have on our website, we have a donation link. It's at kpppfm.com/donate. And at the top of the donation page, you'll see a note that this is tax-deductible donation for Legal Defense Fund for KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead. And you can click on the link, and the link takes you to a PayPal link or a credit card link. And these are all tax-deductible donations, folks, you know, because we are a legitimate nonprofit. And so any donation you make to this will be tax-deductible. We need to create a defense fund because, as Cindy just said, this ain't over. I mean, it's getting worse. I mean, we just had a person in the community that couldn't take being called a Nazi when she was posting all this Nazi stuff, and she called the police, and the police directed her to go into the county and get a harassment restraining order, and then told our mayor that, everything's fine, nothing illegal was done. And they just came to our house and knocked for 15 minutes straight on all three of our doors just to tell us we are fine and there's no laws being broken. You know, so if I get the cops here every day telling us we're not breaking the law, it's going to make me really nervous to have them knocking on my doors, you know, all three doors for 15 minutes every day. You know, that's unacceptable. And so we're going to have more of this sort of stuff. So I anticipate we're going to have more coming our way. More people are going to try to shut us down, and we're just exposing the truth. So if you could donate, go to kpppfm.com/donate. And right at the top, like I said, it has this little description that says we're collecting money for a legal defense fund. Make a donation. We'll send you a tax receipt, and we'll keep you informed of what's going on for sure.
And look, if you guys don't support and keep these safe spaces available to report, to help create media justice, to get people out of jail, to expose corruption. As things get worse, and believe me, they're getting worse, then there won't be anyone around to help you, just like the Niemöller quote says, when they come for you. I wanted to show you briefly some of the posts that you know, people were criticizing Karen for. Here's her original racist post admonishing the people protesting Trump. She said, "To all my friends who think it's cool to boycott the Fargo Trump rally by holding two seats, you're helping Mexican drug cartels and the human trafficking of children by said cartels to the power elite in this country. Do you all understand what that really means? MS-13, children as commodity, everything I have seen POTUS do in action supports the future of humanity."
Wow.
That kind of evil, rhetoric, disgusting spewing of lies about Mexican parents as criminals and children as being trafficked by their parents, when it is this administration ripping them from their parents, is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It is a mockery. It is just what Frederick Douglass said. You're mocking the suffering. Yeah. And you're asking us to celebrate the 4th of July. You're asking us to celebrate America, to be patriots, to rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, the USA. No, because it's more like the KKK. And I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that. Here is more of her comments. This is before. This one in particular. Let me go ahead and put that one up. This one is from Janessa, the woman that was fighting with her in the post I'm about to show you, after she found out that Karen had called the police and sent them to our home.
Mm-hmm.
She sent this to Karen, and she sent me a screenshot. She said, I wanted you to know that I've unfriended Karen, and I sent this to her, and I've asked all my friends to unfriend her, and I'm posting about this publicly. I can't believe that she's doing this to your radio station for reporting on this. And this is what she told Karen. She said, I can't believe you. Did you or one of your friends call the cops on Cindy? State-sanctioned violence, Karen. I'm ashamed I was ever your friend.
Wow.
And she then also posted more stuff. And here's one of her other posts. This is Karen, Janessa speaking to Karen. I've showed a lot of these in the past, but I wanted to remind folks that here, you know, Janessa is talking to Karen, and Karen is being told by Janessa that Trump bowed to public pressure over his racist policy that Sessions enacted, and now he wants to hold people indefinitely. She's telling her, you know, you're full of crap. You're lying about these situations. You're lying. Your post is a lie, and it's hurtful, and I'm a Mexican. And she does this. She says, don't forget, Karen, I'm a Mexican and first generations, and you don't get to point to me and say, well, you're okay. I don't want to rehash all of the stuff that I've shown you before. I just wanted to show it to you again. People have said, I have not produced any of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, well, all of them, the people that are saying that I have not shown any evidence of her being vile or hateful or supporting the policies that are keeping families apart or hurting children, is not true. I have on many occasions, and I'm not going to rehash them all on the show.
Yep.
I'm just going to show them to you again, kind of quickly. You can go to the next one so that you can see I have over and over and over provided the evidence of her being called out by other people and told that she's a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Karen, she tells her, sorry, Karen, but your ideologies aligning with a racist make you racist. I won't back down from that. If me calling you out for supporting a racist president is that hurtful, you should try being a Mexican for one day.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, Karen,
mm-hmm.
after you call the cops on us.
Yeah.
And then she says here, I refuse to be guilt-tripped into feeling bad that racists are sensitive about being called racist.
Yeah.
She's not just sensitive. She will use state-sanctioned violence on you if you don't stop. And then the next one here. She tells her you're supporting a known racist and a bigot. If you align with racists, that makes you at the very least racist adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you a racist.
Yeah.
And here are more of the, you know, pushback that, you know, she's having, not just with Karen, but with some of Karen's Nazi sympathizer friends. Here is what Kirsten T. said to Karen. Oh, that's Kirsten. Kirsten Berg-Realt said, oh, Karen. She also expressed disappointment for her. Here's what Kirsten T. said. I've already showed all of these previously.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, this woman, Kirsten T., tells her that it's ridiculous to post expletive like this and then tell people not to discuss it, disgusted with her, you know. We are all at the point where people who support this garbage are now nothing more than horrible people. She's calling Karen a horrible person.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, I'm ashamed to have kept you on my friends list, not knowing you're actually a white supremacist. She called her a Nazi.
Yeah.
You support a sex offender president. You support someone who would grab your kids' genitals without consent. You've no empathy or compassion for children or parents who are legally seeking asylum. That's right. People who have legally come here following the asylum laws and are having their children stolen from them.
Yeah.
There is no evidence that these parents are sex traffickers, and there's no data backing up that claim. It's pure ignorance. It's racism.
Yeah.
Kirsten, it's racism. And she says, good riddance.
Yeah.
This is all things people said to Karen that didn't have a radio station,
mm-hmm.
that couldn't publicly shame her in the way that I did on the behalf of all of these people who told her she was a Nazi and that she was a racist and that she was compassionless and soulless,
mm-hmm.
before we posted about it,
yep.
and their fight. She claims in the police report she fought with me. I never even addressed this woman.
Mm-hmm.
She's angry that I have a radio station that can shame her for her actions. But Facebook ain't private, lady.
Yep.
So then, here is a threat from... Oh, then I got a threat from Karen. I'm going to skip over my comments to Janessa and Kip, because okay. I've shown those on previous shows. I wanted to show how other people, when they found out about her comments, how they talked about her. These are posts by Janessa calling Karen a Nazi. Here we go. She said, if any of my Fargo friends are still friends with Karen Stensgaard, I hope you know she tried serving someone with a restraining order for posting Karen's public posts, and Karen and her mom have been sending cops to this person's home.
Yeah.
And station. Mm-hmm. Don't forget it's a radio station.
Yep.
And continuing, Janessa says, about Karen Stensgaard, Karen and her mother are dangerous. They are no different than Carolyn Dunham, who falsely accused Emmett Till.
Wow.
And we know how that story ended. I'm tired of y'all's beep, and I'm not going to feel guilty for outing Karen and her own damn family as the racists that they are. They demand their right to free speech, but call the cops on others for doing the same.
Wow.
Here's another call out from her via... No, keep going. The next one. No, you've gone too far. You've got to go back. You've gone too far. There's another one. Nope.
That's all I have in here.
No, there's one where, and I saw it where, nope, where Janessa calls Karen a Nazi. She says, yesterday a former friend of mine was so upset I called her a racist. And she told me that I was a bully. And then her mom told me I don't deserve to call myself a friend. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't deserve to have people in my life that turn a blind eye to injustice. So we definitely aren't friends anymore. And then she said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. It's right next to the one that you just showed on the document. It's right there. It says posts by Janessa calling Karen Nazi. You see that? Keep going down. You were you're right there. Right there. They're right in front of you. Where your cursor is. You see the cursor? Higher. Right there. Right there. You see that? That's exactly where all of those are.
Okay.
And I have it. So I clicked on it. I'm reading from it. So like, it's not a big deal. It was on the last show. Again, I'm just showing you what other people said to her on Facebook. She didn't send the cops to their house. She didn't file reports against them. This is what Janessa posted. She said, she got so upset. I called her a racist. She told me I was a bully. Her mother told me I don't deserve to call myself their friends. We aren't friends anymore. Then she said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I will live and die by that motto, and I'll be damned before I let people in my life try to tell me I'm divisive and I'm a problem when systemic racism and abuse of power are the real problems. I also refuse to be nice. Y'all racist ashy butts are out here literally killing us, so if I want to tell Karen, the Nazi, that she's a Nazi, I have every damn right to do it. So F you, Karen. F you and your righteous, right-wing, hippie, anti-vax BS. F you for allowing your friends to call police on people who call you out. And F your mom, too. chinga tu madre. That's what Janessa, a Mexican, basically said to Karen, which is, if you know Mexicans, you know that's basically the worst thing you can say coming from a Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there was a post by, you know, Janessa outing her call to the cops. Oh, that's the one where she told her that, you know, you call the cops, so I can't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now let me share with you that Karen, Karen posted about her, made a public post about all of this. She is asking for a restraining order because she feels I'm calling negative attention toward her when I'm only simply exposing her racism. And she then is making public posts about this. Which is it? You want
private? Really.
You don't want people to talk to you about it, or you want to talk about it? Which is it? Can you read this one, honey?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have to.
Yeah, it's a lot of thought to get this spread out a little bit so I can see it.
Okay, yes, because it's pretty small. That's better.
All right. This is June 26th, a statement against racism and violence, written by Karen Stensgaard on 6/26/2018. I wish to address the issue at hand and the accusations made against me by Cindy Susana Gomez-Shemp and many others who have joined her.
Okay, let me just stop you right there. I didn't make the accusations that you were racist, that you were white supremacist, and that you were a horrible person, and all of the names that were there that I just showed everyone predated me even knowing about this.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that made me know you're a Nazi and a racist. That all of your friends and all of these people who you were admonishing and while cheering on the baby cages, they were the ones that outed you as a Nazi, Karen. We just reported on it. That's all that happened. And it just so happened you're a local Nazi. So I was able to personally capture that and share it with folks online and in the media. That's what makes you really angry. And I was not the person that initiated that. That was your posts to people and the fight that ensued with those people who called you out and told you you were a white supremacist, a racist, a horrible person, that what you were spreading was lies, that you were a piece of trash, all the things they called you, okay? Yeah. That was those people calling you out. Don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that you're putting this out public so people can call you out on more of your crap, including our station and hopefully this judge in a couple of days.
That's right. She says, I will start by saying that words are incredibly powerful. Emotions have been running very high over the border issues that we are facing in the United States right now. This has been a problem for many years, and we all need to work together to come up with real solutions. Let me be clear. The families coming over the border illegally, but seeking asylum, should not be separated from each other. I never stated that I supported that decision. It was wrong, and has been determined by the executive order that Donald J. Trump signed last week. All currently separated children should be returned with their families with compassion and as quickly as possible. Please see the executive order, and she does a link to it.
She's still promoting the executive order that does not humanely or compassionately.
And it doesn't address any of it.
Or quickly
mm-hmm.
do any of the things she's talking about.
Yep.
She's spewing more propaganda and trying to clean up
the horrible
mess of her PR nightmare that she created by trying to be a public Nazi and rah-rah sis boom-bah Trump, that she decided to post this nonsense.
Yep, and she goes on. She says, also, when someone is found with a child, it isn't their own.
There she goes again about the human trafficking.
Yep. That's fake news, by the way. When someone is found with a child, it isn't their own with the intent of to traffic them or harm them in any way, that child must be taken into protective custody.
She goes right back in.
Yeah.
She goes right back in to justifying taking children and putting them in foster care, taking them away from the only person that they know, the person that they were entrusted to, whether that's a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a cousin.
And then she says basically that, you know, they need to be taken away because there's gangs and cartels. They're trafficking women and children across the border. And
this administration is making that worse.
And then does a video link, you know, for that propaganda.
To a YouTube video.
A YouTube video.
That doesn't even address the things that she is saying.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, her propaganda of, you know, her trying to, you know, she's doing a poor job of defending herself. The waiting lines at the border.
She's not defending herself, Duke. I think she's doubling down on her racism.
Oh, yeah.
She's using this as an opportunity to spew more hate and vile, disgusting lies at a time when children are being taken forever from their parents, tortured, abused. Mm-hmm. By this administration, and this horrible woman keeps going on and on about this, and then show her other stupid post. Oh, wait. First,
oh, yeah. Well, it just goes on. I don't even want to read the rest of it because it goes on and on and on.
No, she doesn't know how to write. She doesn't know how to read either. No, go back to the other one because I want to see the comments underneath it.
The one we're just on?
Yes. Go back to the bottom, all the way to the bottom.
Right,
what did people have to say to her about this? Victoria says, sharing beautiful peace, Karen.
Yeah. Thanks for all you do. Tran Larson says, what is it that Karen has done exactly aside from being a typical Becky?
Barbecue Becky.
This is typical there, but.
Yeah, I know.
So. Victoria Trinity says, Tran Larson, you are on her friends list. You read her material. You know the answer. And he says, LOL, I'm actually not in her.
"Quote unquote material."
Material. You mean
posts?
Her post?
She's not a journalist.
Journalist, my God. She's more of a journalist than anyone on CNN, MSNBC, etc.
Okay, pay close attention to this because Victoria is her aunt.
Yeah.
Victoria is related to her.
Yeah.
And she says, "This is how indoctrinated and crazy these people are." Remember, we started off talking about the media. We started talking about the shootings and the killing of the media, the disruption of the media, and that's exactly what these lunatics. And extremists in the Trump camp are trying to do. And let me tell you, one of their ways of doing this is by, discrediting the value of the media. This racist woman thinks that she is the media, that she has more credibility than the media. And others of her friends say the same thing. Just watch. The Mexican Crossing Line that's been doing media work for over 10 years has been published, co-authored a book. I have no value. I've been doing anti-racism training. I've been doing activism. I've been doing legal work. I have no credibility. But Karen has more credibility than I do about immigration.
Yeah.
Karen! She knows more about all of this, and she's more of a journalist than anyone on MSNBC or CNN or any. That's what this indoctrination does to these crazy people. This is what they believe. Let's go to. Are we having problems? Problemos?
Nope, it's back.
Are we?
Yep.
Okay. So let me show you. Go back to that post so that you can finish reading that. You took it down before we could read it.
Yeah, and switch back and forth.
That's cool. Can you read the rest of what Victory Trinity says?
She says, more of a journalist than anyone on CNN, MSNBC, etc. What is your purpose here other than to poke and offer up sarcasm? Seriously, go away. Blocking you.
And then what does Maria Emanuel say?
Maria says, people who are in support of our current...
She quotes from Karen's article.
Yep, she says, people who are in support of our current president of the U.S. cannot be labeled as a Nazi who wishes to ethnically cleanse a race simply because they support him. That is a violent accusation to make against someone. And it is dangerous, including violence against someone who doesn't share your opinion. It is illegal, it's dangerous, and is wrong. We all have to work together to create solutions that work moving forward. We have to face this together.
That's the quote.
That was a
from
quote.
Karen's.
I see. Article. Sorry about that.
This is what Maria wants to address, and she says in response to Maria's BS post, that quote of the BS post, she said, "This particular lie really stands out to me."
So okay.
She's calling Karen a liar.
All right.
And she said, "Because it's really very simple. Either you support him wholeheartedly, or you are and have been in complete disgust of the poop show and mockery that has become the office and title of POTUS. Twitler, instead of Hitler, Twitler has gone after and attacked people based on race, sexuality, national origin, financial class, abilities. Really, you name it, and I'll provide a link showing you where he's done it. There is no cherry picking your support. You can no longer bury your head in the sand, ignore the politics around you. Quite simply put, if you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. And then Victoria comes in and says to Karen, ostensibly,
it's time to remove some of your friends. You need support, not more BS.
So silence anybody that tells you that you're a racist.
And then Tran Larson says, I'm pretty sure she has the support of the alt-right and neo-Nazis on her side.
So there they're calling her neo-Nazi. Yeah. Adjacent.
So and then Rosemary Robb says, nice attempt at backpedaling. Every time someone who spews racial slurs and bigotry always tries to make it
take it back.
Karen's just another Roseanne Barr. They're sorry when they get caught. Typical.
Yes, this is her Roseanne Barr attempt at not even apologizing.
I know,
and justifying herself.
And I think you're totally right when you said that. Doubling down, she's going to double down on what she's already said, because she did that post and, you know, and supposedly addressing you and really never addressed anything that you said. And then the people that are actually responding are still, you know, some are the supporters and some are the people who are being very critical of her. And they're basically hanging with all the posts. I can only see the stuff on her page. I'm not a friend with her. But for some reason, I can see these public posts on her page. So once again, this is public information. These are public things that are being put on her page. I'm not even a friend with her. Cindy's been blocked. Cindy can't even see her page. So I've looked at the page and got the screenshots because they're available to me. And again, I'm not a friend. So it's totally public information that pretty much anyone can see if they have a Facebook account.
Yes. Now, let me show you what this type of destructive hate does. What this kind of nonsense put out by these racist Trump supporters and Nazi sympathizers like Karen, what it leads to. Here's a post by some of her friends on our Facebook page. Wayne and Weiser are their last names.
Okay, let me find that.
Wayne and Weiser.
Wayne Weiser, there we go.
Ryan Weiser is the first one. And this is speaking about how the people killed in Washington were actual journalists, and that we should be fine. This was on the post that we posted about the sheriffs coming to our house.
Okay.
And harassing us.
All right.
And how we had to, we're having to fend off state sanctioned violence as, you know, journalists' lives are being extinguished in this country. And this was this response. This is the guy who's, Ryan Weisler, whose profile picture was of him shooting a gun.
Okay.
And this is also the guy that compared us to slandering the good name of people like Karen.
Right? I see.
Like he's on the slander and, you know, shutting down dissent of media stations that were, you know, that talk like we do. And one of our listeners said, Ryan Weiser, Cindy posted screenshots. Karen outed herself as the Nazi sympathizer. She, and now we see you are. We see you, smug, privileged, arrogant, confident, and terrified knowing that we are right. Apologize to Cindy. And then this other dude named Gary Wayne says, in all honesty, he's referring to Mexican Crossing Lines and my show. Again, he says, in all honesty, she doesn't deserve to be called that. He's saying, I don't deserve to be called media. But as you noted, she does. Karen has no experience in any of this. It's just like Trump.
Yeah.
The people in his administration have no experience. They don't know, Department of Education person doesn't know anything about the Department of Education and wants to dismantle it. The EPA guy doesn't care
about
the environment, doesn't know anything about it, wants to dismantle it. The person that's running the Justice Department doesn't believe that discrimination exists, doesn't care to do anything to protect vulnerable people. I could go on and on and on, but this is emblematic of the Trump administration and the Republican Party in general these days.
Yes, yes.
That this is how people are expected to perform. Things they don't have any care for. Ben Carson is running the housing department, and he's literally a brain surgeon. He has no idea how to do anything related to housing, and he doesn't believe in housing discrimination. Like,
you're listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines, July 3rd, Old Glory, New Shame, Part 2.
This is purposefully done.
Yes.
And if we're not careful, we're going to lose what little free speech rights we have left. Let me show you how long we have. I posted about this, and I got some nasty responses from the public. I said, this was June 26th, after the attacks on us continued. We still kept putting out media, despite the fact that we were getting attacked here, there, and everywhere. And it says, tens of thousands of permanent U.S. residents. Excuse me, let me start over again. Can you start reading that for me?
Tens of thousands permanent U.S. residents, naturalized citizens, mentally disabled citizens, nonverbal adults, and even Native Americans from U.S. reservations have been unlawfully detained in concentration camps and deported, in many cases losing their families, jobs, home, business in the process. Mexicans have been telling you about this since Operation Wetback, but you don't listen because they didn't take your kids, your wife, or your home. It's been happening for a long time, and now it's open season on anyone with brown or black skin in America. Where conservative do heinous shiz and progressives do nothing to stop them.
Where conservatives do heinous things and progressives do nothing to stop them.
Okay, that's a good way to edit it. If we are to believe in this country's humanity, we'll need to see its people responding humanely to this man-made crisis of kicking off Holocaust 2018. How long before they come for your elder, your transgender or queer kid, your disabled mom?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
This is kind of like a Niemöller type of a thing.
Yeah.
Like, do you not see what's happening? How long are you going to allow this stuff to go on before it's you?
Yeah.
Before it's somebody close to you?
And pretty much I harp on it all the time, and I have a lot to learn. Believe me, I'm not the smartest bulb, but I read, I learn, I look back. But people don't know history. They probably don't even know what Operation Wetback was, where they were basically deported millions and millions and millions of Mexicans, including United States citizens, to Mexico because they were done with the Bracero program and they were mechanizing farms, and they just wanted to get rid of all the people, and they just deported millions of people and called it Operation Wetback. Our government did that, and it wasn't that long ago. And so, you know, this history being repeated, and we don't even know the history in the first place to be able to go, oh, that's happened before, that shouldn't be happening now.
I know. And we also, we hide, we literally hide the effects of this hatred in our community and pretend that everyone that's spewing it and all of the negative effects that come out of it are hidden, covered up, and not talked about. So I'm going to share with you a comment post by one of the people that went to the protest, the Trump counter protest at the event here in Fargo. None of this was reported in the news, so we're going to report it here on KPPPLP, because since the mainstream media is really just glad-handing President Trump, we're going to share with you what happened behind the scenes to people that dared to go and stand up to this monster in our town. This is Emily Meester's post, and
I can read, sweetie.
I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, Emily Meester. For those of you who truly believe Trump is just a man who says bad things, but you agree with his policies, I went to the protest tonight and wanted to share a few things we experienced. At the beginning, it wasn't too bad, just a couple of go-homes and shut-ups and F-U's, etc. People were irritated by the protesters loudly voicing their beliefs, which is okay, fine, whatever. Your idol doesn't support anyone who isn't a white male and who does horrible things. But okay, it was after the rally when people had seen him and were emboldened by him and people like him. This was what actually made me feel fear. The bone chilling how humans are like this. Sick to your stomach feeling. there are a few things we experienced. A man hanging his exposed butt out the window as his friends drove by. People turning their cars in ways to cover us with exhaust fumes. Even one guy covered us in black smoke soot. Literally countless FUs, so many. We were called rapists. We were told we deserved to be raped. We were told to go back to our own countries. We were told that we were damned to hell. We were purposely misgendered. Wow, I'm so offended you called me a man. What? A man threw bullets out his window at us as he drove away in a cowardly veiled threat. Probably the most horrific, a man in Trump gear telling us that when women are raped and don't come forward, they are responsible for every rape that their rapist commits after them. He said he would shame us.
So you basically described there were threats of sexual assault. People exposed themselves. That's a form of assault.
Yes.
To people that were protesting by the side of the road. You know, they were so far away from what I heard many of these folks that actually went to the event.
Yeah.
That the protesters couldn't even be seen or heard very well from where the event occurred. But Emily is describing that, you know, what the people did when they drove by, where they were walking on the side of the road.
And the horrible things. I have to finish this. Read a sentence about the woman. When a woman is raped and don't come forward, they are responsible for every rape that their rapist commits after them. He said he would shame his daughter if she were raped and didn't come forward.
Wow.
And she says, I have a
video. So they're rape apologists.
Rape apologists. I have a video of this if you want proof.
They are rape apologists, people that expose themselves to women, people that threaten to kill. They threw bullets. They made death threats. They made actual death threats. This all happened in our town because of Trump.
Yep.
And this racist woman, Karen, felt entitled that she could even whip up the fervor of the local police to come and shut down one of the only stations in town that would call out this racism here.
Yeah.
Because the comfortable white supremacy of this area is that they shut down all dissent. And that is acceptable and perfectly normal in North Dakota, okay? In Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And let me share with you what one of the racists on our comment section had to say. This is the kind of hatred it engenders toward these little kids and the malicious intent of what it does. This is a guy named W.A. Barnes, which you can barely see because when we remove a post and block or ban a user for their offensive language, makes it like look like it disappear. It hides it. It's called hiding.
Yeah.
It hides the comment. And you can see their name is black because they've been banned. So they can no longer post any more, you know, hatred and lies. But this is with regard to me saying that permanent residents have been removed in the past and have done it to U.S. citizens and all that. And he says, that's a lie about permanent residents. If you're a drug dealer or commit a heinous crime, you can get deported. So stop telling tales about permanent residents in camps.
Wow, this guy is living under
an
illusion.
They don't know anything. They don't know squat.
No.
And they don't want to know.
No.
They don't want to be educated. They don't want to pay attention to know. They just want to say evil, things like that. Mm-hmm. This is another guy we removed.
Yeah.
And this really, really disturbed me. He said, what families are being separated in Fargo?
Oh.
And I said, seriously, Matt? You've been watching the news. You've seen they won't even let reporters take pictures of these detention facilities and the families inside. These detention facilities are actually destroying records, and this administration is lying about what they're doing. But you just want people to hand you a civilian without a jurisprudence doctorate the personal information of local undocumented people who are in this situation. First of all, some of the very brave undocumented people who have come forward to tell their stories have to take that chance that they will be targeted by authorities. The immigration attorneys who I have worked with and am working with now, in this region for nearly two decades have spoken with me and are confirming not only stories of local families being separated as well as the targeting of naturalized citizens to strip them of their citizenship and deport them. If you want to become more aware and verify what's happening locally, why don't you give to a bond fund and or volunteer to help local families? Then again, it doesn't sound like you want to garner local help and or want may have other reasons for your bias. I'm like, yeah. Are you just a racist that hates little children that are brown? Is that what it is? But I said, either way, you should want to support local efforts to help families stay together.
Exactly.
And then I posted the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which I would please like to ask you to support.
Yeah.
This is a local bond fund that helps get people that are going to the Minnesota courts and that are being held in Minnesota detention in Minneapolis from South Dakota, North Dakota, and Minnesota. Because there is no court for those who are detained.
Yeah.
From South Dakota, and draconian racism affects everything, including how immigration is enforced from state to state. So the poor people of North Dakota and South Dakota don't have nothing. Minnesota is the only place where there's court. Minnesota handles all the court cases. Minneapolis handles all the court cases for all three of those states. And this fund helps people from this court system. So that would be for all three of those Midwestern states.
Wow. That's excellent.
And I will drop the information for the links for the Minnesota Freedom Fund. This is a bond fund for the local families. If you want to support local people, get them out of jail, help them get back with their kids or be able to at least go out of the jail so they can go find their kids, find out what's happening to their kids, be with their kids. If their kids are with a family member, some of these people are being separated from their babies. This is what I said to the lawyer today, after she sent me the information on the Minnesota Bond Fund, and we've been doing local PSAs,
yeah,
to help the local families that need support, and we've been doing some organizing work that the cops tried to interrupt to try to find places and people that can be local resources for people in this area because they don't have any local resources. We don't have thousands, millions and millions of Mexican people here like they do in California and Texas, where they have a lot of nonprofits and organizations that help with the undocumented. We don't have anything like that. Mm-hmm. What little we did have has recently been stripped away by racist people in these communities. And the lack of funding for people of color run, people of color led organizations. So, I said to this attorney, we really need to do a show soon with you so we can explain what the situations are locally, and you can talk about them as much as you feel comfortable. I said, I've actually got folks saying that there is no local people needing this support because there's no local families being separated. They think families are only separated on entry. And then she told me the story about a person that is awaiting transfer in Grand Forks right now that has three children, the youngest of which is a 5-month-old breastfeeding baby. So
yeah.
I want you to put up what Matt Sullivan said. Matt Sullivan said, so you have no proof of families being separated in Fargo at all. Even though I said, how can you demand that we give you some name of somebody specific or something? I'm like, he goes, you just want a donation? What kind of sick people are you?
Wow.
And I responded, proof? Oh, you need proof because it's like a figment of our imagination. It's not really happening everywhere. It's something we made up to profit off of. You're the sicko. Diminishing a human crisis and pretending it isn't real to keep people from helping migrant children and separated families? Next year, you'll say these are crisis actors. What don't you understand about confidentiality of vulnerable people? Are you really this obtuse? Nah. I think you play stupid to derail people of color trying to get freedom. Go darken someone else's door. And then he responds yet again, yes, proof, something that's required when you make these kind of accusations like you have. Accusations.
Yeah, really.
There's footage of it. There mm-hmm. are children in cages.
Yeah.
He goes, "You're a con artist pulling at the heartstrings of the uninformed and trying to make money off of it. There will be a special place in hell for you." Hmm. I don't think that we're going to the same place.
Yeah, but, exactly. I want to remind people, too, that we have a detention center in Grand Forks. I don't know what other ones there are close to us, but I know that one because Cindy's actually been there, helped do some translating.
And in Bloomington.
And I know there's one in Bloomington, but these are springing up everywhere. And there's one in our community. There's people being taken to this detention center right here in the state of North Dakota. So you have to care about that. And you really got to start caring and become informed what's going on.
These people are so racist and they're so rabidly anti-Mexican telling you anything that's true about what's really going on with this immigration issue that they are willing to try to discredit our station rather than these children and families get support. And if that isn't disgusting to you, if that isn't on some other sicko level, I really don't know what is for you. I don't know what would turn your stomach. I don't know what would reach your heart. I don't mm-hmm. know what would make you compassionate when it seems like you don't have the capacity for that. And that's what's happening with Karen. That's what I think is happening with a lot of these racists in our community that do not want to be confronted. But I'm here to guarantee, and I want you to put up our donation for our fund, for our legal fund, because I ain't going away. I'm not going to stop. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to go to court on July 6th.
Yep.
And we're going to report back to you what happened. We anticipate more of this. So please donate to support our station's work and our legal defense fund. Tell them how, Duke.
That's right. Go to KPPPLP, FM, Fargo Moorhead. I don't even know where I am anymore. Just go to our website at kppfm.com/donate. And on the top of the donation page, there's a link that says tax-deductible donation for legal defense fund for KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead. And when you click on that link, you'll get a PayPal page will pop up and also a credit card page, and you can make a tax-deductible donation so we can defend ourselves in court and also make the filings we need to do to protect ourselves, protect our free speech, and get these people off our backs, and also pave the way for more safety for people of color in this community. We'd really appreciate your support.
And, you know, we take those risks. We've painted that target on ourselves so that we can tell the stories of people of color and marginalized voices that no one else is willing to share here in the Fargo-Moorhead region, in Minnesota, in North Dakota, for people of color, for queer people, for transgender people, for a lot of voices that are normally kept erased or silent or oppressed. So we ask for you to support that. And also, don't forget to support this local bond fund. Bonds can be up to $7,000 or $8,000 to $10,000 in some cases for individuals. So, you know, the number of people right now that you need to know, this guy doesn't think that there's any way of formally showing what's really going on. But I'm going to share with you a link. It's called How You Can Track Immigration. It's called Track Immigration. And I want you to show this graphic that I got off of this website. You can go there yourself and check. The nearest court to us is Bloomington.
Okay.
And as you can see, there are currently 821 people awaiting trial. So there's over 800 people in detention. There's over 800 people currently being held. This is confirmed by the attorney that I talked to today. So if you want to see by state, and what state courts you have to go to if you're in a state that doesn't have a federal court for this kind of for these kinds of hearings, you can go track all of this stuff on your own. Check out the statistics. This, by the way, is only for year-to-date fiscal year 2018.
Mm.
You can go back and check what it was the year before and the year before and the year before. You can break out the statistics by race and ethnicity, state, and there's a lot of other factors. You can look at all these different statistics and pie charts. It's really great, a resource where you can find what the what's really going on in a much deeper way, and that way people can't tell you what's what. Well, let me tell you something about what this data says. Okay, findings are based upon a detailed analysis of the millions of records covering each deportation proceeding hearing initiated by the Department of Homeland Security and its processor agency, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, in the immigration courts. These individual case records were obtained through requests made by the Transactional Record Access Clearinghouse, TRAC, under the Freedom of Information Act, to the Executive Office for Immigration Review, EOIR, a unit within the Department of Justice in which these administrative courts are housed.
Hmm.
These courts were established by Congress to conduct deportation proceedings and decide, quote, whether foreign-born individuals who are charged by the Department of Homeland Security, DHS, with violating immigration laws should be ordered removed from the United States, close quote. Legal terminology has changed over time when referring to deportation, and the terms deportation and removal are used in a generic sense, whether legally labeled as removal, deportation, or expulsion based upon inadmissibility grounds. Based upon inadmissibility grounds. Are you paying attention?
Mm-hmm.
This is important. This is important. Pay attention. Because this is, you know, when they're like, if they come here and break a law, if it's illegal, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Listen, this is why you got to listen and learn. To initiate a removal proceeding, do you hear what I said?
Yep.
To initiate a removal proceeding, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, files a charging document called a notice to appear in any one of these immigration courts. This charging document orders the individual to appear before an immigration judge and provide notice of the specific immigration violations ICE alleges supports its request for the deportation order. Know that ICE has falsely accused people of allegations which were proven false and maliciously made to target people of color for deportation repeatedly. So these labels mean nothing is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
But this is what these are the labels upon which they can deny you the ability to stay here for completely fabricated and bogus reasons, which in the pie chart can mean accusations of terrorism, or it just says terrorism.
Wow.
But here it explains some of these things and what they mean when they're in the pie chart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Sorry, I get excited about statistics. So it says that an individual can be charged with more than one immigration violation. Okay? This would be like a misdemeanor, you know, trespassing charge and a... you know, something like a public disorder or something, you know, you could get charged with a couple of these different kinds of things, you know, trespass.
Yeah. And yeah.
So what's counted? This is for the statistics for these stats, which you are going to be looking at on this website that I gave you access to, that my son will be putting in the links of the show, that Nemo's putting in the tracks, the track thing that's in the links. Track immigration says deportation proceedings courts or sorry excuse me counts those are charges like the different counts,
different counts
are based upon each new government's filing that begins a deportation proceeding, and dates are based upon the initial filing date. Okay, to eliminate double counting, subsequent court proceedings based upon the same charging document are excluded. Thus, these counts differ from those for new proceedings received. Since the immigration courts frequently open a new numbered proceeding when a case is transferred or a venue is changed or a case is remanded back to the court following an appeal or a proceeding is reopened at the request of either party. Also, only deportation proceedings are included, i.e. those in which DHS files a notice to appear. Deportation outcomes. It says courts are based upon each case an immigration court completes and the date of the judge's decision on it or administrative closure. Again, actions that that close a case in one immigration court in order to transfer it to an immigration court in another city, as well as changes in venue, are not treated as closures. Percents are calculated based upon whether the immigration judge orders the individual deported, such as through issuing a removal order or an order of voluntary departure, or the individual is allowed to stay in the country. And there is a glossary of terms, so you can learn a lot by going and reading this stuff. So, examples of reasons why an individual may be allowed to remain in the country include situations where the judge finds the charges against the individual were not sustained, and it happens all the time, or the government requests that the charges be dropped, as well as where the judge finds other provisions in the immigration law entitling the individual to relief from removal, like asylum. A person may also be allowed to remain because the government requests that the case be administratively closed. They don't have a beef with you. They know you're undocumented, but they don't care. Because mm-hmm. that was a thing before.
Yeah.
It never was that people got persecuted just for being undocumented.
Exactly.
People didn't care. Lots of people don't pay their taxes on time. They don't throw all of the people in jail and take their kids away
exactly.
from them forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, charge categories. And this is really important, okay? Under a range of provisions of the law, rather broad legal grounds are given for deportation or removal of someone who's undocumented that doesn't commit a crime just because you want to have them removed on either national security or terrorism grounds because they're really vague.
Yeah.
To be deported for terrorism, for example, it is sufficient if, quote, a consular officer or the attorney general knows or has reasonable grounds to believe, close quote, that an individual is likely to engage after entry into the United States in some kind of terroristic activity. Is likely upon their belief that you might.
Wow.
That's enough for you to be deported. That's like the minority report where they predict the future crime.
Predictive policing. You know, they're actually doing that. And that's, you may likely do this, therefore we're going to deport you. I mean, and it's also pretty vague. I mean, it's like, what's that based on?
So when you're reading this chart and it says that some of these people are being deported under that terrorism section, under that wedge of the pie, it could be because of that. That's what they're explaining. Okay, so in addition to that, a non-citizen is deportable if they have committed criminal acts listed in the immigration laws.
Okay.
But conviction of those laws is not always necessary.
Wow. It's accused without a conviction, charged without a conviction.
Well, if you admit in some way to have committed a crime for which you were never convicted. But how would you know that if you weren't convicted or charged for that crime? Do you see the mind games they're playing here?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Under certain sections of immigration law, for example, it is only required that an officer, quote, know or have reason to believe that an individual has engaged in an illegal criminal activity. Know or have reason to believe.
Wow.
So if they label you as a gang member or a possible MS-13, then they would have reason to believe that you're going to commit a crime. And therefore they can automatically say that you're deportable because you're likely going to become a criminal.
Yep.
That is the basis for what a lot of this is going on right now.
Wow.
Non-citizens are also deportable if they have violated immigration rules. For example, if you entered in the country illegally, entered legally but overstayed your visa, mm-hmm. or violated other procedural requirements.
Yeah.
Finally, although very rarely, relatively rarely invoked, there's a number of so-called miscellaneous provisional laws.
Really?
Yep. These include the failure to meet labor certification requirements, having, quote, communicable disease of public health significance, and being, quote, likely to become a public charge. Or being, quote, a practicing polygamist. Trump? Oh, wait, no. He divorced. He divorces them.
It says that in there?
Yeah. Mitt?
Exactly.
So
what about Utah?
These are crimes of moral turpitude. But the president is a grabbing rapist. That's not moral turpitude. Making fun of the disabled, being a fascist that put children in cages. None of that is moral turpitude. Sleeping with a porn star while your wife had just had your baby. All of that's fine. But if a white person in ICE or Jeff Sessions says they're likely to be gang members or likely to be MS-13 or likely to be having some kind of moral turpitude, boom, you're gone.
Wow.
Right. While these are included in the totals that you see in these statistics, they're not separately shown. Based on the records from immigration courts, TRAC classifies each of these removal proceedings, starting with those in fiscal year 1982 and continuing to the present, on the basis of the particular charges the government brought, not on what charges they were found to have.
Well, of guilty of.
No, there's no, they don't find facts. They don't find you guilty. They just bring charges and deport you.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to find you guilty. This isn't.
Innocent until proven guilty, that's for sure.
No, it's not a criminal proceeding, remember? I told you, that's why it's
so you get fined. Just pay your fine.
So, see, I take the time to try to educate Nazis, but are y'all really going to take the time to study this stuff? I bet you the trolls won't. The people that care really will. And those people are already smart enough not to say the things that Karen said.
Exactly.
Or to try to sue us over it.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for all of your support, for your time. Thank you for sticking through us through all of this.
Yep.
We're living in scary times, so we really do, from the bottom of our hearts here at KPPPLP 88.1 FM, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Appreciate every listener, every viewer out there. Mwah. Thanks for being with us. And don't try to be an American idiot.
That's right.
Like Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Night.